Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Game 163 of the baseball season for four teams as we hit the air. And it's a battle of Barry and Joel in the National League West, as the winner of that will make one of us correct in terms of who we predicted to win the division. But with that being said, there is tons to talk about on the agenda today. That's why we're all looking forward to the show. President accounted for, barely. Nick is in the studio.
Barely.
In the production office, barely. Barry and I are here.
Hey, good chat and show prep today,
good talk.
Bud.
Glad we got that audio lined up and everything that we needed to get done.
Take y'all's jabs, y'all.
Really enjoyed it.
Trey was aimlessly walking through the hallways going, I was cutting a video.
He was hoping he could take over.
Have you guys seen Nick?
Yep. Yeah, exactly what he did. I'm in the middle of getting ready to shoot. In the video room, and he walks, hey, Joel, have you seen Nick? I go, no, Trey, it wasn't my turn to watch him. I'm trying to do a video here. Why? Well, I was going to shadow him, and now I don't know if there's any sunshine because Nick's not going to be here. And I'm like, all right. Jeez.
What happened? I made it, though.
Where the hell have you been?
So I had an appointment at 11 o'clock.
Is it massage?
What was her name?
No.
You went to go see if those that robot prostitution ring was set up yet?
Nope. You went down to the robot brothel?
Yeah. Nope.
You a robot whore?
If Dixie Chicks Robotics was open?
See, I can't tell a story with you guys.
Okay,
look at that.
Why?
Go ahead. Go.
Floor is yours, sir. Go ahead.
Look, long story short, it was like on I-10 and Studemont. Studemont.
Oh, I thought the modeling studio.
Or Studemont, however you want to pronounce
Studemont,
the street.
You're right, yeah.
And I thought it'd be like a 15 or 20 minute meeting, and I had to drop my brother back all the way back to Missouri City, and I barely made it.
Man.
So you were...
You rolled up
Jeff
at
Gordon.
Oh, huh?
It would have been cool if it was like a 20 minute meeting, but it wasn't a 20 minute meeting.
Not even close, huh?
Yeah.
With the Toyota SS, with the Jeff Gordon, you were weaving in and out of traffic?
Yeah, like 12:57, like 12:54, I had just exited 59 in Chimney Rock.
Ooh,
so that's why I pulled up.
Did you notify Tyler that you might be late?
No,
or were
I
you
going to
let Trey do it?
No, I thought I could make it. Normally, I do text Tyler, but I did.
So your communication was lacking.
No, I knew I made it. I was here on time.
Barry and I didn't know.
1 o'clock.
We looked at each other with the show starting, going, "Nick going to be here today?"
It just happened to be on a day y'all both were here early. Like, what time were you here?
Like, I got here like 11.
Yeah.
That's a lie. And
no,
then what
no,
time
Barry,
did you get
Barry
here?
Got here right after me, and Barry, it was right up a little before noon.
Wow, that's impressive,
yeah.
Barry.
Yep.
You never show up early.
Well, he knew you were going to be late, so he figured this was the best way to freaking drive home the point.
Never?
Never.
That's not true. Sometimes I get here at 12:30, which is early.
Anything else?
Plenty to talk about. You know, we don't like ties around here, so we're winners.
Yeah.
We go for the win, like Frank Reich. So that's something that's going to be on the agenda for later.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, boy. These are always good.
I busted out the bottle of Crown this weekend that I had sitting around.
Uh-oh.
And I got really, really drunk Saturday night.
By yourself?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Wife was asleep. I drank half a bottle of Crown.
Mm.
And I knew I was drunk when at some point. So it was weird how it happened. All right. Not the getting drunk part, but I was on Facebook, and you should never be on Facebook drunk, first of all. That should be a rule. You know how you have the breathalyzer to start your car?
Yeah.
They need those for laptops and for texting. You should just have to, and then if you like a .08, you can't text or Facebook drunk. So this one guy was like, hey, I'm looking for recommendations for music. And I was like, ha, 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 I know what I'm going to put. And then I went and found a Yanni video and posted it on his wall. But then after I posted it, I was so drunk that I watched it.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, you know what? This Yanni fella ain't so bad. I watched Yanni videos for an hour. There was still
wrong with you?
There was still football on, but I was like, hell no. I got all this Yanni to watch.
Yanni is like if John Oates and Kenny G illegitimately had a son. What are you doing?
I have never enjoyed something so much while I was drunk than the Yanni music that I've listened to. I was so into it. I was just like, oh my God, I get it. Like
I've never seen a Yanni video, so I have to ask, like, what? Hot chicks? I mean, what?
No, it was him.
What is getting your attention and keeping it?
It was him live in concert.
Oh, God.
And
what is going on?
I was drunk. I woke up the next morning and went, what the hell was I doing? I watched Yanni videos for an hour. If you go and look at my YouTube Saturday night, they'll show you the history of what you watch. Yanni. I was just like, next. I could not get enough Yanni videos, Yanni music. And it was all live in concert. And he's like, ooh, this guy plays the piccolo or whatever. Like, there was one like weird instrument. And this guy, it was like a flute, basically. But not like a side flute, like a front flute, like almost a Kenny.
Oh, a front flute, I'm like, sure. I bet you mastered the front flute.
Not the
that
skin
night.
Flute. It was like the Kenny G sax.
Like the Pied Piper thing?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. More like Pied Piper was to the side, I believe. But more like a Kenny G sax, but it was some sort of flute thing. And this dude was jamming on it. Well, I say jamming. He was jamming because I was drunk. I'm sure if I went back and watched it now. Oh, look at that.
Are you kidding me? What'd you write? Did you just like get some candles lit and some incense and
what's wrong with this?
I'd rather pull my ass hairs out one at a time.
I don't know. Do you want me to pull one up from my YouTube and post it in the
Pull one up after you rubbed one out.
This
music is terrible.
Joel, I did not masturbate to Yanni, okay? Well, let's keep these things separate.
Look,
all right.
Yanni greatest hits.
More like
album.
Yawny. Like it'll put me to sleep. What
right
are you
there
doing?
On YouTube, buddy.
I see what you did there. Ha ha.
Okay, my one Yanni story
Google.
While you're looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
So George Postolis, who used to be the big guy in charge over at the Rockets, he was one of those Ivy Leaguers and real kind of, uppity guys. He somehow, because Yanni was in concerts and like that, he got to meet him, and he was so he was like you, but he wasn't drunk. He was just infatuated with him.
Uh-huh.
We were doing a Rockets game at Toyota Center, and he came up to me, and he goes, and he always kind of spoke real, he's like, Joel, hey, I need Yanni on TV. Put him on the post-game show and the halftime.
What?
And I go,
so you got to meet Yanni?
Oh
my God.
I don't
God,
remember.
You're
I mean,
so
I don't
lucky.
Remember anything about him, but I was like, so he brings this guy up, and I pull George aside, and I go, what did you want us to talk about? Because he's not going to talk about the Rockets. Just talk about being in Houston and how great it is and everything. I was like, okay. And I'm thinking, our audience is going to be so enthralled by this. But yeah, we once had Yanni on during halftime of a Rockets game.
Look, this is the guy playing the flute.
Is that what that is?
This is it. Wait till the beat drops.
Nick.
What beat is possibly going to drop?
Nick, what is going on?
I don't know.
But if you watch the video, you see Yanni? Yes, this is my Saturday night. This was an hour of me drunk on the couch in my underwear with a laptop burning my junk watching Yanni. This was it. It was my whole Saturday.
You didn't tweet, drunk tweet or anything?
I don't believe so.
Dang.
I drunk Facebook.
I think that's probably a good thing.
I would have totally texted him.
Based on the Onalaska superintendent, I think the one thing that he learned was stay away from Twitter.
I drunk Facebooked a little bit.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
This is awful.
The beat hadn't even dropped yet.
Well, I don't have that much time.
Okay, let's
get fast forward. Just click over there in the middle.
I'm like, I'm supposed to know where the beat is.
I don't know. Just click somewhere over like a...
The intro's not supposed to be longer than the song.
6 minutes, 18 seconds. Go there. 6:18.
You know
what
this sounds like? This sounds like the flight of an insect. Like you're chasing a wasp or something.
Oh! Suck it! Yeah. This sounds like trap music, right? Yeah.
You know what this sounds like?
Yeah. I kick my bars. I was trying to rap.
I did the audience a favor too, because what this sounds like
is... I was
going to
kick a flow.
This is golf music on speed. It's too late now. Kick a flow.
And then you did him a favor, but you shouldn't have.
You're right.
You shouldn't have.
No. This does sound like something like you would see like a golf.
This is like golf music. Tiger Woods on the 18th.
Or no, like just the pregame. Just the pre-match. This might be what they play during Phil and Tiger. Like when they're showing the highlights ahead of time. This is like...
Hey, Barry, kick that flow, please.
No, it's too late now. The moment
you are looking
passed.
Live.
I was going to go. I was all like, yeah, yeah. Brr, brr.
You are looking live at 18 bowls.
Too late now.
Huh? Lil Pump does that, too.
Cardi B does that for no reason.
Oh, yeah, she does that,
She'll be like, I think I need to go grocery shopping. Brr. What? Why did you... excuse me, can I get a double quarter pounder with cheese? Brr. What? Why are you doing that?
The Birdman or Cardi B?
Absolutely no reason. I don't know. I don't know why they do it. That's a new thing these rapper kids are doing. I don't do it when I kick my flow.
That little bit there was like, then it all came crashing down for Tiger as he hit the fire hydrant.
So badass.
While his wife hit the back window with a 9-iron. Would he ever return as he searched deep within his loins? Would he ever make it back? That's piano.
You should have stopped.
That was awful.
30 seconds ago.
All right, anyway, we're just getting started. I'm sure you guys are fired up after that. HRNP listener line wide open right now, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. Also, we are available via Twitter at all times. It's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny.
Yeah, right now, guys, football season is here. Make the games a little more interesting with MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you are betting with. MyBookie is the online destination to get some action on any game out there. They're safe, reliable. They've been in business for years. That's why I recommend them. That's why Fred recommends them. It's why when I'm going to put some action on a game, I'm doing it with MyBookie. And another reason I do it, it's because when you win, they pay. That's super important when you're using a place to wager on sports. MyBookie has some of the best live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points that a player will get in a game. Isn't that cool? Look, just go to mybookie.ag on your mobile phone or your computer. Super easy to get to, mybookie.ag. And if you sign up right now, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. You heard that right. A dollar for dollar match on your deposit. Use promo code radio to activate that offer. Just Google MyBookie, MyBookie, or go to mybookie.ag. Don't forget that promo code radio when you create your account to claim that bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for segment two of The Usual Suspects. I believe my mic is on and I'm hot as opposed to clear, which is when I'm not. Thank you, Nick, for allowing Trey to handle that break and the subsequent confusion that could only be provided by one Juggalo Trey.
Trey, normally, you're supposed to yell hot.
Yeah, hot,
not
Trey,
clear.
Not clear.
Well, I just learned from Jacob Payne. He always says clear on the national side. So,
well,
is that when they're going to break or when they're coming back from one?
How does Nick do it?
He says hot.
And who are you learning from?
Nick.
Why did you do
That's
it with somebody
me.
Else?
I got to coach better. That's on me.
You got to produce better. You do. Okay.
At least I didn't mess up anything on the board.
You need a haircut.
I know. I know. Thanks, Dad.
My God.
Trey, how many on me's do you take before the weight of the world is on your shoulders?
Probably seven.
Well, you're way over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should start feeling heavy on your shoulders. There's you got to start doing more and on me and less.
What?
You got to take out. You got to make sure things don't happen wrong instead of making them go wrong and then saying it's on me.
I'll say hot next time instead of clear.
Well, that's progress.
That's all I want
to some degree.
That was my mistake.
Again. All right, so we're back. Nick is barely here. We are rolling along. Lots to talk about. Holy cow.
Yeah, we do. We got a Texans first win. Astros 103 wins. Game 163s. I think we need to start with the Texans, though, because...
Boy, it's been a hot topic nationally, too, thanks to Frank Reich.
Yeah.
If you're playing for him... I mean, I know Andrew Luck said the right thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know... The post game, did you believe a word of Andrew Luck in this post game?
I never do. He's just like, so happy go lucky, giddy, phony, little kiddish.
He's like, we're behind that. We can get with that. He wanted to win. We want to win. That's what we want to play for. We were happy that we went for it. No, you weren't. He's like, we just got to be better. No, you weren't. You can't be happy that you lost the game because your coach is a bonehead. That was such a Bill O'Brien thing if I've ever seen it.
I was going to say, just reverse it for all you need to know. Just reverse it and say, if that's Bill O'Brien, he makes the same decision and gets the same results.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. In this town, are you kidding me? With everything that he's done previous leading up to this, from the coaching mishaps we've pointed out, this town goes absolutely nuts.
Yeah. If you're 0-3, though, are you playing for a tie or are you playing for a win on the road? If the tables were reversed, I don't know.
So there's already been two ties in the NFL, so you're not going to take that one in the shorts and say you're the only team that played for a tie. You know, at the end of the only thing he's got going for him, at the end of the day, that tie could come into discussions if there was, you know, something on the line, which there probably won't be unless it's tiebreakers for the first overall pick.
Right.
But at the same time... From a smart coaching decision process.
Not smart.
Not smarter.
No, it wasn't good. But, I mean, overall, Texans looked good. You know what I can't wait for? They finally got a win, so good for them. Congratulations to them, and go Texans and all that. But I think this team is going to give the fans a lot of hope once they're able to put together two complete halves. Because they have yet to do that. And I brought it up last week that if you looked at the differences between the first half and the second half, where the first half they were giving up about 20 points and scoring six, and then you would reverse it, they would score six and only give up, you know, or score 20 and only give up six. And they were basically a second half team. Then they come out like guns a-blazing. In the first half, defense is stepping up. Jadeveon Clowney is making plays. Everybody's doing good. And then the second half, they just collapse. So it's once this team puts together two halves, I think it's a good football team. Well, they just have to figure that out.
They finally did what I had said, and I wrote about it and brought it up a couple weeks ago again. Where was the offense that they ran for the six games before Watson got hurt a year ago? Where was, when you know that you have a subpar offensive line, getting him out of the pocket, rolling him out, putting him on the move, and utilizing what is one of your strengths, which is the skill positions that you have? Because it reared its head yesterday, and it gave you, like you said, immediate results in the first half. They were blowing the doors off the Colts with keeping them guessing. I mean, moving people around. You had the great call on Twitter about QT, and he came out performing at an extremely high level to compliment Fuller and D-Hop, and Miller was getting some things done. Look, I just think that's what everybody's been that's why everybody's been so critical about Bill O'Brien, because what we saw offensively until yesterday in the first half was not even close to what we saw last year when we had so much hope and promise for the future based on Watson and how everything went.
Well, it's a team that still is a bit, I'm not going to say one-dimensional, but in a way, because they're still, the first two games, they did great running the ball. The last two games, they've really struggled to run the ball. I mean, Lamar Miller barely getting 50 yards
right.
on 14 carries. Blue with 13 carries getting 31 yards. Not all that impressive. You know, Deshaun Watson, it really boosts their number. I mean, this is the team that had 119 yards rushing total. 41 of that comes from Deshaun Watson scrambling and running around. And when that kid learns how to throw the ball away, he'll be even better because he'll have less sacks overall. I mean, he was sacked 7 times, but some of those were on him. Some of those where he's running and instead of just throwing the ball out of bounds, he's trying to keep the play alive and extend the play and getting caught from behind, or, you know, a defensive back will come up and make a play on him because nobody's open. And if he throws a couple of those away, there's a few less sacks. So there's still a lot that this team can do, but there was a lot of good things. And like you said, Kiki QT was, to me, a big bright spot for this team, because now when you play the Texans, that's why I suspected that he was going to have a big game, because you had Will Fuller come back and immediately impact the game last week. And now, so teams have to respect Will Fuller. They have to obviously respect DeAndre Hopkins. And when you add a guy like Kiki QT who can take the lid off the defense, but, you know, you can put him in the slot and he can run some crossing routes like he did over and over. This is a poor man's Tyreek Hill. This is their version
speed
of
speed kills.
Yeah, this is their version. I shouldn't say a poor man's, but this is the Texans' version of Tyreek Hill, where if you know, again, he can take the lid off the defense, but you can run jet sweeps with him. You can run
put him in
bubble
motion
screens.
And the defense has to be aware
right.
and follow him.
So this is another wrinkle for this team. And, you know, if they just had adequate offensive line play,
no question, it
would be a fun team to watch.
But as it is,
it's going to be a lot more
fun
now.
Let's just take a look at, was it in overtime? The ball that Watson just throws up in the corner of the end zone and no one gives it a shot to come down anywhere but just out of bounds or just fall down. And whoever was doing the color, he pulled a Clyde. He was just like, oh, whoa, because D-Hop not only got to it over his shoulder, he almost brought it in, and when he hit the ground, it popped out. And you're like, that is the kind of talent we're talking about now, between what Deshaun can do athletically to get out of the pocket, what Watson can do and Fuller can do. But we thought Fuller was your burner. But boy, I'll tell you what, you bring QT in there and you bring him in motion and you move him around. That's the things that Braxton Miller couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Because he can go in the slot and get you some things, but your comparison to a poor man's Hill, Tyreek Hill, is right. Because you put him in motion in the shotgun and Deshaun, and as a defense, you have to respect the fact that Deshaun might give the quick handoff to him before he starts to get out of the pocket. Now the defense can't blitz you as much and come as aggressively, because they have to be aware of the fact that if you get to the edge quickly, they could be in trouble. They could get gouged.
Yeah, those jet sweeps will come in handy for this team. It's really going to open up the playbook some for O'Brien and for Deshaun Watson.
I drafted QT, but then I dropped him. So should I draft him again?
I mean,
do you really want to bring?
Not every week is going to be versus the Colts. The Colts were all right, but I just felt like I think it's worth a flyer, especially if you need help.
I mean, the majority of the throws are still going
to
go to the other
two guys.
I'll
probably ask that.
Here's the other thing I could see happening too, though. And Tyler Irvin hasn't struggled, but man, he's so dynamic. I could see him returning punts.
See, I was just going to say that, but then I was thinking to myself, do you risk putting him out there and taking a big hit?
Think about how many punt returns for touchdowns Tyreek Hill has.
I know.
If you had a weapon like that, would you use it? Absolutely.
Well, maybe you don't need Irvin then.
Well.
And maybe you can add somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, because they say Foreman's coming back now, but he's going to need some time to get football, you know, back in football shape and everything else. But obviously the running game is lacking right now. You mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And depth is an issue too. And Blue is just what we thought he was going to be. So with all that said, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they go forward with this. But they do find themselves with a new weapon that they can really have some fun with. And hopefully that opens things up for everybody, starting with Deshaun.
Yep.
So we'll continue to roll on. Nick, we'll get into your fantasy football and the fact that you were tweeting out just how bad you are once again managing a fantasy sport team. And the fact that you left, I think, 1,000.
Nobody look at that terrible picture of Joel on ESPN.
You left, 1,021 points on your bench yesterday?
125 points.
Close enough. That's not a good move if you're a GM. All right, so we're going to continue to move on, and we want you to be a part of the show. So if you want to join us, HRNP listener line is open, 713-780-3776. You want to talk Texans, you want to talk Astros, baseball playoffs, A&M, grabbing face masks, Texas getting another win, whatever it is, we're here for you. And, of course, hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. If you're tired of storm chasers, deposit these. People are just trying to get your money up front so they can skip town without doing the work that they promised you. Well, then you need to call Fitz Roofing, because if you're still trying to dig out from the hurricane, or you've got a leaky roof or something that needs to, maybe you just need a whole new roof on your house and you want to go to the right company so you don't get screwed over, well, I'm telling you, Fitz Roofing is that company. First and foremost, they use quality products like CertainTeed shingles. In fact, Fitz Roofing is a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, which only 1% of all the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to attain. And you guessed it, Fitz Roofing has it. That means their base warranties are longer and better than your average roofer can offer. And they do an outstanding job of making sure that before, during, and after the work is done, they are here for you in this community, because they're in H-Town just like you. They give 10% of all their profits back to the community through a nonprofit called Fitz for Families. That means that money goes to help people that have a need for a new roof or repairs, but they can't afford it. That's why they're giving back, to make sure that you realize they're here for you, they're in this community, and they're here to do better. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why wouldn't you give them a call if you need anything done with your roof? FitzRoofing.com online, or you can just call Fitz Roofing, 832-521-3001. Either way, free, no-obligation inspection. Let the process begin and realize why you should do anything with your roofing with only one roofer, and that's Fitz Roofing, because Fitz Roofing is making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour into the big show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday on ESPN 97.5. And you know how we do it around here. We like to get you guys in on the fun. That's why we're crawling till we can't walk. You need to join ESPN 97.5, SportsWrap 94.1, and the whole crew as they make it a Houston thing, Saturday, October the 20th, in the first annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl, brought to you by Thrive Plus. It's going to be the biggest group of Houstonians, led by Fred Fowler, repping their favorite sports teams while indulging in drinks at the hottest pubs, bars, and restaurants downtown on Main Street. Get your tickets before the prices go up. Right now, very fairly priced, and they come with a lot of goodies. A limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone shirt, pub crawl wristband, cup and koozie, and $3 drinks. You can't go wrong. Tickets are available right now at htxpubcrawls.com. htxpubcrawls.com. Get in now, because you know if Fred's involved, there will be festivities and everyone will have a good time.
I would agree with that.
All right. Good to know.
You think I heard him say he was trying to limit himself to one beer per pub. They're going to six. So if I set the over under,
stop it.
At six.
It's over.
You taking the over?
Taking the over, and I believe when he gets to the last bar, the festivities really begin.
And you can set it at one, and then that doesn't mean he's not going to take shots. You know what I mean? Like, is it one drink or one beer?
He just said one drink per...
One bourbon, one shot.
No, because he's trying to drink, like, low-alcohol beer.
What? Yeah, but then it's only six.
Yeah, that's, so he's drinking
so six beers in however long, what is it, a couple hours?
That's what I'm thinking. If you spread it out, yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
But, I mean, if he's going through them relatively
you do that, you end up listening to Yanni for an hour.
In your underwear.
That's just...
in your underwear with one hand on your keyboard. I'll tell you this. Nick, you can appreciate this because of the town. Where I went to school, La Crosse, Wisconsin's in the Guinness Book of Records for the most bars per capita of people anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the things that the college guys did, because it was easy way to get drunk and have fun with mixed crowd, is that you got a t-shirt, and the checklist was the crawl, and I think it was Third Street, and Third Street had, I think, something like between 25 and 30 some establishments, and the goal was to have a drink at Every one of them.
Oh my God.
And this and thing one night? Happened. Yeah. And this these pub crawls like this happened on the regular, and people just got liquored up like you wouldn't believe and had the greatest time.
A lot of them are not driving too, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all walking. Yeah, it's walking from end to end. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, and damn, 30?
That's a lot. At the break, I'm going to text some of my buddies that some of them still live in that area and see what was the maximum we had. But I want to say that there were at least like 20 on our list.
Well, if you drank a little water and threw up, you know, every 10 bars.
That's true.
You probably get through 30.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's get Lawrence's call in.
All right.
He wants to talk fantasy football, but I don't know if that's actually
accurate.
What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, how y'all doing? I got a couple things. I had Juju Smith, the wide receiver, and I had McDonald, man. McDonald, he gonna be all right in the league. He run over people like a monkey. I think he might be the new Gronk, but anyway, I was depending on Big Ben to, you know, help me out a little bit because I was losing by like 25, 30 points. Man, is it me or did he just play terrible, like play terrible, man? Like he was missing passes. I think Big Ben might be out the throw. I think he might be out the throw, man.
I hang up and miss. That whole locker room
appreciate the call,
is
Lawrence.
In disarray. Did you see the last pick of the game? I mean, in clear sight, he threw into double coverage, and the announcers were trying to cover for him, saying he didn't see the linebacker on the right.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I had Big Ben,
and he
too,
tried
Lawrence.
To force it in there, and it wasn't even close.
It sucked. But you know what? He's done this before and bounced back. I don't know if it you never know when that downfall really starts to hit. You know, it's kind of sudden, but I'm hoping that he can bounce back from that.
Well, he definitely had a bad game. No sugarcoating that. The problem, though,
week one was bad too. Now
I'm aware of that.
Okay,
I'm saying is the problem is that teams don't have to respect the run with the Steelers right now. I mean, outside of the first game that James Conner had, he's really not done anything.
Now, I didn't look at the box score last night because I was going
19 carries. They rushed for a combined 19 yards as a team. Conner had all 19.
Now, what was
Switzer
he on receptions?
Switzer had a yard. Couple. Roethlisberger lost a yard. 9 carries, 19 yards.
I saw Conner, though, running you don't the ball, have, right? Did, no, he did he have
he
how
had
did
9
he
carries.
No, what was the receiving?
Yeah, he was targeted.
I saw him run over a few people receptions.
3 catches for 25 yards.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. This is a team that is one-dimensional right now. No defense, and the Raiders are playing great football right now. And that defense is playing
really
well.
I mean,
the Ravens, are playing great football. That defense is playing really well. Joe Flacco seems to be finding everybody on the team. But they're playing good football. You always hear about complimentary football. Not a great running team, but Alex Collins can get it done when he has to. He almost averaged 4 yards a carry in the game last night. But on the opposite end of that, this Steelers team is so one-dimensional. The defenses don't have to respect the run. And, you know, you can put pressure on Big Ben, and he's good in the pocket, and he's hard to knock down. But when you can drop as many as you want in coverage because you don't have to respect the run, it makes it a lot more difficult to operate. And so put it on Big Ben. He made a lot of bad decisions. You still have to read coverages. You still have to make the right decisions, and he wasn't doing that well. But don't mistake for one second that this team is missing Le'Veon Bell. It's there's no
obviously
doubt
when
in my
he's
mind.
The best running back, it, arguably statistically, and of course with Todd Gurley, one of the two best running backs in the game. You're gonna miss him, but at you know Ben, just from a standpoint for me, it goes further than that. And I'm with you, and I think you can put a lot of it on Ben, but I think more so than anything else, just on both sides of the ball, and you could see the finger pointing last night, and even the quotes that everybody was trying their best to bite their tongue, but they don't do a great job of it in kind of subliminally pointing more fingers. And that locker room is a mess.
Sure.
It is in complete disarray. I don't think even if Bell comes back now, especially based on what happened to Earl Thomas yesterday and the fact that Bell was saying he was going to be the bad guy to be the one that's, you know, be the poster child for stepping up and saying, I'm not coming back on a cheap deal or a one-year deal again so I can get hurt and screw my future. We already know that the lineman had an issue with the holdout in general. The fact that they thought that he would be back by week two, it's carried over. Then you have the Antonio Brown situation. Roethlisberger, it seems like it's gotten to him from right off the get-go because he was bad in week one. He hasn't been great throughout. I don't know if that team recovers this time.
The Steelers are 28th in the league in rushing.
Obviously, that's a huge deal.
289 yards total.
But passing-wise, too, you got to have a guy making better decisions.
These are
that.
The teams that are worse than the Steelers in running the ball. Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, Arizona, and surprisingly Minnesota. Dead last.
Well, Cook's been hurt.
Yeah.
And from, I mean, Arizona,
how come the running back of the Colts did all that work on the Texans on Sundays? They're so bad at rushing. Hines was all over them.
The second half was ugly for the Texans defense. I'm not going to deny that first half though. They were getting off. They were taking care of business. They were playing like you expected this defense to play.
But JJ's been great. I mean, for as much
Clowney
as I had,
showed up.
Yeah, and Clowney showed up. That's the Clowney you need to see every single week. And obviously, you're not going to have a fumble recovery for a touchdown every week.
Right.
But every week, you need to see him being that disruptive.
Yeah.
And I don't mean street clothes when a tight end comes by you. I mean in the backfield, along the line of scrimmage, on the edge.
They rushed for 41 yards, so I'm not going to say that it was great.
Who rushed for 41
The Colts.
Yeah.
And 41 yards
well,
total.
They are
on
where
the
they're supposed to be, but Pittsburgh is supposed to be better.
The problem was, yeah, they scored 21 points in the second half. So that's it's so funny because you look at, we talk about the tale of two halves. Texans score 21, give up 10. Give up 21, score 10 in the second half. Like mirror opposites, and it's it just like it's so frustrating because you see what this team is capable of.
Yeah.
Just like you hear Bill O'Brien say it all the time. It's a stupid saying, but it's kind of true. This complimentary football thing might be something to that.
That guy, he just knows what to say and when to say.
Boy.
It.
Did you see, by the way, Tyrann Mathieu give him the game ball?
No.
Yeah. In the locker room after the game, Bill O'Brien is like, that's a good win for us. You know, we've given our situation, and everybody in the locker room knows what's up. They're 0-3. And they need to win. And he's like, this is good for us. We're going to build on this. It's just one game. We got to get better. He says, but we need to get away from each other for a couple days. Yeah. I'll see y'all on Wednesday. And the whole team goes nuts because they get a couple days off. And as he's walking off, Tyrann Mathieu goes, wait, coach. Come here. And he hands him the game ball. And he goes, this is for you, coach.
I turned it off when he gave him 2 days off after their first win of the year. I was like, this idiot just gave him 2 games off after they finally won a game and they got lucky doing it. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. But at least Bill's got the game ball.
That's right.
Super. Put that in your chin. All right. We'll be back with a whole lot more as we continue to roll on. Again, baseball games going on now. Monday Night Football tonight. And, of course, more Texans talk. Clarence, we see you. Hang in there. We'll get to you next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, having fun on a Monday. Appreciate you taking us along on the ride as you fight through your work day. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on the Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. Haven't really touched on a whole lot of baseball yet. Gotten into the football right off the get-go because, of course, football is king in this state. And finally, your hometown Houston Texans got a win. And I got a feeling, boys, this ain't going away this week in particular because this whole Cowboys-Texans thing is on the horizon. And even though both teams kind of suck, it ain't
kind of.
It's going to be a big deal.
I just don't get it. I grew up, my cousins and my uncle were huge Dallas Cowboy fans. And myself and my mom and my dad were diehard Houston Oilers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And my hatred for the Cowboys developed because of my cousins and my uncle. And how they were just always bragging about the Cowboys and how great the Cowboys were. And the Oilers always seemed to be just the whipping boys of football. It's not that big of a deal, though, anymore. There's no rivalry. This is like when...
I think the biggest thing was the people in Dallas don't think it's a rivalry, but for one reason or another, the people of Houston do. And it, you know,
but
it goes
it's not
all the
a
way
rivalry
to the
if
fact that
both
the tailgate,
sides are in.
That tailgating has become like this Fort Knox permission slip and ticket to tailgate thing because of the fights the last time the two teams got together when it didn't mean anything then.
But it can't be a rivalry if both team if both sides aren't in it. If just one side hates the other side, that's just pettiness. That's not a rivalry. I mean, when you look at Ohio State and Michigan.
Okay, I'm not. I don't care if you call it a rivalry or not. I'm just saying it's going to be a big deal this week.
I don't know.
Because you got enough Cowboy fans deal. Here that are going to the game.
It's
going
to be a big deal to Houstonians and Texans fans that just hate Dallas for no reason other than it's Dallas. That's who it's going to be a big deal to. But I guarantee you, in Dallas, this is another football game for them. Dallas Cowboy fans, for the most part, this is another football game for them.
Which is
a majority of the Texans fans, probably, if they're being rational about it, this is just another football game for them, too.
Every game for Cowboys fans is a huge game. So, yeah, it still makes for a big deal. But you're right. They probably don't view it as a rivalry.
Well, Cowboy fans have called the show and said that they don't consider it to be a rivalry at all. But on the flip side, and I think because you know that kind of what Barry's point is, too, when you're trying to fight your way up to get that kind of football supremacy title in the state, you know, in order to get there, you've got to leapfrog the Cowboys. So there's a chip on the shoulder of Texans fans, and any time that they square off with their in-state rival, it's a big deal.
Yeah, because there's not many rational Texans fans, right?
Well, you know, I mean,
I can't tell if you're being facetious.
Yeah, I was being serious.
I think there's plenty of rational Texans fans, but I also think that there's
is there a bunch of rational Texans fans?
Well, it depends, because now rational Texans fans are bloggers. So that's when the irrational things come out.
I don't think it's that crazy to say, honestly.
You going to talk or?
I don't know. I'm thinking. I mean, I'm trying to think because I don't want to just disparage Texans fans. But
I'm not calling all of them dumb. I'm just saying.
See, I think
there's irrational
like
and then there's dumb.
Base. I mean, it's just there's so many more because football's so big in this state. But I think that there's rational Texans fans.
I do, too.
I don't think it's as bad as the irrational Kool-Aid drinking Rockets fans. I don't think it's as bad. I think that Texans fans can be more realistic.
To be honest
in the fact
with you guys, I have no idea what this Texans fan base is. That's why I'm silent right now, because in my mind I'm thinking like, what is the typical Houston Texans fan? I really don't have any clue. I really don't, because I know Texans fans and I know people that just like football and root for the Texans. I know diehard Texans fans that like travel. But I don't know. I really don't know what this fan base is. I to be honest with you, I think when Lance was on the show and talked about the fact that this is, you can call this a football town if you want to, no one's jazzed about the Texans. Well, people don't care as much as we lead on. You know, AJ and Fred love to give us a lot of crap because we don't just talk football and Texans for 3 hours. And right. And I know in some of it's in jest and they're having fun and all that. There's not a clamoring in this town. This is a baseball and a basketball town more than it is a football town right now.
I disagree with that. But I
don't.
Think that
I
you
think,
have
and,
to see
and
progress.
And I'm not taking credit for that. That was a complete Lance thing, and I agree with him 100%.
But the numbers show different.
Yeah, I disagree
they?
With that.
Yeah,
I
they?
Think.
Yeah, go to a Texans game even when they suck. It's going to be way more than any attendance in any Astros or Rockets game.
Oh,
I just think
no.
they're tired of seeing yeah, it's 9-7, 9-7.
Well, because the stadium's bigger.
Exactly.
But if this was a football town,
you can't sell out a 16,000 or 40,000 at stadium in Toyota Center in Minute Maid. So, how many times? How many? Dude,
football's
world
because there's
deal,
eight
man.
Games. There's eight games. That's why. No. There's eight games. There's eight home games versus 41 and 81. Well, that's why.
I'll tell you what. If I drive out of Toyota Center, if I drive out of Minute Maid Park, I get out way quicker than if I get out of NRG after a Texans game.
That's triple the attendance.
Yeah.
That means there's more people.
Yeah, but there's eight games, and they pay PSLs. People are just on principle they're going to go because they had to cough up the stupid money for the PSL.
No, here's the thing. I think it is still a football town, but I think that, look, you saw this year again. People knew Deshaun Watson was coming back. People had optimism. People thought this was the year. Then you see all these people predicting that they could possibly make the Super Bowl. So they're all fired up. I think it's almost a blessing in some ways that the first two games were on the road. But at the same time, if those first two games were at home, I still fully expect that they would have been sold out, because I think the fan base just gets frustrated with the fact that winning the division at 9-7 or one good year only to have a playoff collapse and then a lot of their shortcomings, you don't see any more progress. You don't see this team progressing like some of the good teams that have gotten better that are now really good teams in the NFL, like how quickly the Rams turned it around. Like certain teams are building and getting better. You just don't see that with the Texans. And you see an ownership group that accepts, if as long as they're good guys, they almost accept that. I don't want to say mediocrity, because they did win the division even at 9-7, but it ain't great.
All I can tell you is I haven't been to a Texans game this year, and I didn't go to many last year. But when I go and they say they announce a sellout, and the fact of the matter is that stadium is not full. That's not that you can't. They may on paper
gonna
be selling out.
It's still going to be like what 50,000.
But that's based.
It's still going to be way more people than a Nationals game or a Rockets game.
That's based on your theory, which is absolutely correct, which is once you buy the PCLs, as far as the team is concerned, those seats are sold whether they choose to show up or not.
But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like even then, people aren't going. They may say it's a sellout.
That's
but,
for sure. That's true. There's a lot of people not going to these Texans games. There's no doubt. And I've seen it time and time again. I haven't gone to a home game yet because there's only been one. I do plan on going to the next home game, but football just brings that much attention naturally, and that's the only reason why I'm saying look at the numbers. I don't mean like I don't have hardcore evidence or proof to tell you otherwise that this is like a baseball town or a basketball town. I'm just saying there's just so many more people paying for football.
I don't know how you can say it's a basketball town, because simply we harped on this all season and we hoped it got better. Even in the first round of the playoffs, the attendance was really bad until it got to meaningful games. So that's why I still think football is king in this state, because you look at people that are still dedicated to U of H and Texas and A&M, and it's football. It's not just professional football, but I think that there's a frustration level with the Texans based on what they've put forth.
So I'm not suggesting that people don't love football. What I'm saying is that just to blindly say that this is a football town and no one cares about baseball or basketball,
I didn't say that.
That's just not true. But that's the point I'm making, is that this people love all three sports, but this isn't like that football is at 100 and baseball and basketball are at 20. Look how many people showed up for the Astros parade when they won the World Series. This can be a baseball town.
Oh, and it is right now.
In the last
now.
Couple of years, that's what I'm saying. This is a... And again, I'm stealing words from Lance's mouth, but it's because it's true. This town loves winners. There's a very bandwagon city.
Mm-hmm.
Very much disagree. A bandwagon. Remember a couple years ago with the Rockets, I was like, hey, this is your deadline to get on the Rockets bandwagon. And because this is a bandwagon city. I've lived here my whole life. This is what we do. We support winners, and when you're losing, we don't show up. And the Texans have been mediocre at best their entire existence.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say.
They've had one really good year, so people aren't going to show up for that necessarily.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to break. Mike, Antonio,
Corey,
Andy, Clarence,
all
T,
you guys
Corey,
hold.
Just hold tight. Hour number two is going to start off with all you, so that it's not going anywhere. So we're going to take a quick break and then get to these phone balls board because it's full. So right now, before we get to that break, I do want to tell you about the good people at at Cars for Kids. Log on to carsforkids.org or pick up the phone and give them a call, 713-225-4226. Well, one way or the other, I hope that you consider donating to what is a very, very good program. I've been talking about them for a long time. It's because it's a great program here in the Houston area, and it's people helping kids trying to get a second chance at an education. That's why I think it's such a great deal. If you have a clunker laying around collecting rust and dust, you know, maybe it's not working anymore. It's a motorcycle, a boat, RV, trailer, truck, car. It doesn't matter. And you want to make a donation because you don't want to pay for a tow truck and have more expense. All you do is call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They do the paperwork. You mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. And you get a nice tax deduction when it's time to come around April 15th. And that's where the process really begins. They take your vehicle away and they turn it into resources for kids trying to get their education. If the kids don't have certain things, they are distractions that can really hinder them in trying to hit the books. Things like warm meals, book money, eyeglasses, bus fare. If they don't have those things, they're distractions. It's tough to concentrate. If they have all those things, they can focus on the books and get through school. That's why I think it's such a valuable program. Give them a call, 713-225-4226, carsforkids.org. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.